Stand by for the fastest 60 minutes in Jewish radio. It's time for the Jewish Experience. Hi, everyone, and welcome back. The world is heating up around us, but it's great to know that you can count on us to get you ready for Shabbos. Hi, I'm Hirsch Dolin, your host. You are tuned in to Pittsburgh's only Jewish radio program, The Jewish Experience. The parsha this week is Mishpatim. The Jews, after receiving the law, the Torah, now settle down to start learning it. This week, the portion is Mishpatim, or civil legislation. These are the laws of civil society that you might think are products of human innovation. Hence, they were taught close to the giving of the Torah that teaches that we don't murder and steal and kidnap because God, the one above, tells us not to do so, not because we think it's wrong. We learn about the mistreatment of foreigners here, the observance of the festivals, the bringing of gifts to the temple in Jerusalem. All in all, there are 53 mitzvahs or commandments in this portion. And the Jewish people responded to God, "We will do and we will hear." Meaning that first they'll do what God commands them, and then they'll try to understand the commandment. Not understanding the commandment's not going to stop them from doing it either. Finally, we also read a special portion this week on counting the Jews with a half shekel, which is one of the special portions leading up to the holiday of Purim. And speaking of leading, our staff continues to lead with the best in educational Jewish radio with Musical Moish, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, and Ms. Devorah Delin. So sit back and enjoy 60 minutes of the best Jewish radio in Pennsylvania. We'll have your community announcements, of course, and Mazel Tovs, along with current news fresh from Israel National Radio, coming up on the half hour. And don't forget to take time now to make a resolution to support Jewish radio in Pittsburgh. You can sponsor your favorite segment each week. Send an email to jewishexperience@verizon.net or call us at 412-979-5770, and we'll let you in on all the details. If you want to hear us on the air each week, you should write a check now and become a partner in this exciting endeavor. You know, Rabbi Goldwasser's Torah lesson is sponsored by Rabbi Yisrael Zerlo, and the community announcements is sponsored by Kramer's Windows and Glass Block. The popular feminine perspective is sponsored by Lens Landscaping. Rabbi Eisen's Moment in Jewish History is still available for sponsorship, so call right now and reserve your spot. Rabbi Goldwasser's story segment is sponsored by Roll It In. Remember, if you enjoy listening to our program, your financial support is critical to making this program available to you in your homes each week. The entire staff works hard to bring you the best in Jewish programming, but we rely on your generous support. As always, we thank our regular sponsors, Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, Next Generation Financial Services, First Mariner Bank, Pittsburgh Simcha Orchestra, led by our own Musical Moishe, and Artistic Photography. Don't forget to ask for a special gift of a beautiful refrigerator magnet that is yours free when you call us at 412-979-5770 or just drop us an email at jewishexperience@verizon.net. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week is no later than 5:38 p.m.
Well, once again, it's a Friday Erev Shabbos, so let's get you started and in the mood. Here's something brand new and bound to get you tapping around the kitchen on an otherwise cold and snowy Friday afternoon here in the Berg. So here's Ohad and his second brand new release album, Gedola Shira, a big song. I'm Moshe Pekar, and you're tuned in and good to go on the J.E.
יש בו עכשיו, יש בו לעובר, ויש בו לעתיד לבוא. יש בו בעולם הזה, ויש בו לעולם הבא. יש בו עכשיו, יש בו לעובר, ויש בו לעתיד לבואי. יש בו בחלום הזה, ויש בו לעולם הבא. ויש בו לעולם הבא, יש בו עכשיו, ויש בו לעובד, ויש בו לעתיד לבוא, יש בו בעולם הזה, ויש בו לעולם הבא.
Rabbi Goldwasser's Parsha segment this week is sponsored by Reb Yisrael Zerlo in honor of the Refua Shlema of Klal Yisrael for the healthy recovery of all the people of Israel. And now, our resident rabbi, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
This Shabbos is Parsha's Shkolim, the first of the four special Shabbosim before Purim. We will take out a second Sefer Torah, and we will read about the half shekel offering that every Jew brought toward the Mishkan, the sanctuary that traveled with the Jewish people in the desert. Actually, in all, there were three offerings that every Jew brought. Number one, every man over 20 gave half a shekel coin towards a general fund for the korbanos, the sacrifices. Number two, every man over 20 gave a half a shekel for the adonim, the silver foundation sockets of the Mishkan. Number three, every man, woman, and child donated as much as their hearts desired towards the building of the Mishkan itself. This included the cedar walls, the cloth and fur tapestries, the brass, gold, and silver vessels, and so on. What is the significance today of the foundation fund for the Mishkan, and also of the general fund toward the other vessels? Every donor to the foundation fund gave an identical amount, a half a shekel, whereas the fund for the other parts of the Mishkan, everyone gave as much as they were able to. Two distinct aspects of serving Hashem are indicated here. The foundation offering is standard, uniform for all Israel, disregarding individual differences of wisdom or piety or wealth. It signifies the basic acceptance of Hashem by the individual, his acceptance of the yoke of Hashem's kingship. This acceptance, or Kabbalah's Ol, is one of the lowest elements in the personality. One who observes a mitzvah without involvement of mind and heart, but simply because he accepts Hashem's command. He does not feel the same sense of spiritual achievement and satisfaction as one who understands the precept and is deeply affected emotionally by it. Nonetheless, Submissiveness is the foundation and first step in the service of Hashem. Just like the sockets, which were the lowest component of the sanctuary, yet also the foundation on which everything stood. The submissiveness factor is basically the same within all of us, for it stems from the very essence of the soul in which all are equal. The general truma for the sacrifices, on the other hand, symbolizes the service of each person with his particular endowments, his intelligence, his emotional sensitivities, in which there is a wide variance between one person and another. And that is the reason for this donation. Everyone gave as much as his heart prompted him to give.
Retirement can be a wonderful reward for years of hard work, but it can also be stressful as you deal with questions about how to maintain your standard of living while protecting what you worked so hard for. What if I told you that you could generate extra cash flow without touching a penny of your savings, investments, or current income? If you or someone you love is 62 years or older and owns their own home, they may be able to take advantage of a federally regulated program called a home equity conversion mortgage or reverse mortgage. Seniors all across the U.S. are using reverse mortgages to increase their cash flow for purchasing long-term care insurance, putting grandkids through college, making charitable donations, paying off credit card debt, paying for prescription drugs, buying vacation homes, and paying for much-needed home repair. Call for a free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet today. Get the facts and help yourself and your family through a reverse mortgage. Call Andy at 412-562-2220 for a free copy while supplies last. Again, that number is 412-562-2220 for your free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet. First Mariner Bank is an equal housing lender.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now for the Forward, 800-992-3333. That's 800-992-3333. All around us, life is moving faster and faster. Things are changing all the time. And it's a comfort to know in your time of need that at Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, the Jewish tradition continues. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home has served the Pittsburgh Jewish community since 1947 and has recently remodeled its entire facility to better serve you. Burton Hirsch Funeral Directors are members of the Jewish Funeral Directors Association and work closely with area rabbis to ensure that your needs as a Jewish family are totally met. Their attentive and compassionate guidance results in treating each family as their own. I personally met with Michael Hilgefort, and did you know that Burton Hirsch Funeral Home is even involved with community educational programs to ensure that Jewish families know what to do to have a proper burial? In your time of special need, call Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home, Burton Hirsch, at 412-521-2600. That's 412-521-2600. They welcome your request to visit and tour their state-of-the-art facilities. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, proud sponsors of the Jewish Experience, 412-521-2600. Now it's time for A Moment in Jewish History with the author of Miraculous Journey, Rabbi Yosef Eisen.
In 1840, there were 15,000 Jews in America, a number that swelled to 150,000 by the eve of the Civil War, with virtually all the immigrants assimilated German Jews. Their de facto leader and the most important 19th century reformer was Isaac Meir Weiss. In every possible way, he struck at the divine origin of the Torah, especially ridiculing the mitzvah of chalitza, a ceremony in which a childless widow removes a ritual shoe off the foot of her brother-in-law and spits before him on the ground. Weiss dropped observance of the second day of festivals, customarily observed outside Eretz Yisrael, using the spurious argument that America is the new promised land and is not considered exile. Needless to say, merchants were very pleased with this innovation. Weiss then introduced all the German reforms in the synagogue, only differing in the use of English for prayers, and creating a revised Siddur Minig America. In 1873, Weiss organized the scattered Reformed temples around the country into an umbrella organization known as the Union of American Hebrew Congregations, or UAHC. 2 years later, he founded Hebrew Union College in Cincinnati to train Reformed clergy. UAHC soon gained great power and the loyalty of vast numbers of American Jews. In 1885, at the Pittsburgh Platform, American Reform formally rejected all Torah laws such as are not adapted to the views and habits of modern civilization, including rules on diet, ritual, and family purity and dress. The Pittsburgh Platform further proclaimed that Jews were no longer a nation, but a religious community, denied life after death, and presented the concept of the Messianic Age not as a return to Eretz Yisrael, but rather as the search for social justice, in which all religions shared equally. By 1880, there were about 300,000 Jews in the United States, largely Americanized, affluent, and reform. This is Rabbi Yosef Eisen, wishing you a happy and healthy Shabbos.
This week's news segment is brought to you by Kramer's Windows and Glass Block. When your requirements call for replacement windows or glass block, call Ed at 412-848-2262. That's 412-848-2262.
Now, from the Israel National Radio Newsroom, here's Ernie Singer.
United States Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice arriving on Shabbat for preliminary discussions with Prime Minister Ehud Olmert and PLO Chairman Mahmoud Abbas prior to Monday's three-way summit in Jerusalem. The political jostling between Abbas and PLO Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh of Hamas this past week over who really gets what in the new unity government has done nothing to reassure any of the parties that the talks will be fruitful. Haniyeh, officially a caretaker prime minister during the 3 weeks he has to present a new government after submitting his resignation in line with last week's Mecca agreement. Dr. Rice repeating America's wait-and-see attitude during a news conference before her arrival here. State Department spokesman Sean McCormick telling reporters to back up in his words, following reports that the U.S. is boycotting PLO ministers because the PLO has yet to meet requirements for international recognition and aid. Abbas meeting leaders of Islamic Jihad in Gaza Friday in the hope of obtaining the terror group's support for the new government after a senior member of Islamic Jihad voiced opposition to the idea of joining the Hamas-Fatah government because it was founded on the basis of the Oslo Accords. He reiterated Islamic Jihad's worldview, which includes never recognizing Israel and a rejection of the Quartet of Nations conditions. According to intelligence information that has reached Israeli police, Hamas and Fatah interested in a renewal of rioting in Jerusalem over the bridge from the Western Wall Plaza to the Temple Mount. The police on a nationwide state of alert Friday, one notch under the maximum with a special focus on Jerusalem. The Israeli Islamic movement busing supporters to Jerusalem to take part in what they call the protests. Dozens of rioters dispersed by police a distance from the Temple Mount at the appearance of Islamic Association Northern Branch leader Sheikh Raad Salah, three arrested. In defiance of a court order, Salah promising to bring his family to pray on the Temple Mount after delivering a sermon at a massive protest in the Wadi Jaz neighborhood north of the Old City. The Sheikh and several followers evicted from a Jerusalem fire station early Friday. Turkish Prime Minister Tayyip Erdogan may appoint a senior foreign policy advisor who is considered close to Hamas to head his country's mission to the Temple Mount in 2 weeks. According to an army radio report, Ahmed Davutoğlu initiated Hamas kingpin Khaled Meshal's visit to Ankara immediately after Hamas's victory in the PLO elections a year ago. The mother of Reserve Major Yehuda Lipschitz, who was murdered in 1990 at the age of 27, enraged at Prime Minister Olmert for offering to transfer his Jordanian killers to serve out the remainder of their terms in Jordanian jails, despite previous government policy not to free prisoners with blood on their hands. Lipschitz was patrolling near the Jordanian border and sought out the source of a breach in the security fence when the terrorists killed him. Reacting to remarks by Olmert, Neely Lipschitz angrily asking, "Why does a gesture to the King of Jordan need to come at the expense of our family?" Official estimates from the Army's Northern Command indicate that an explosion which occurred Thursday evening on the Lebanese side of the northern border was caused by an old explosive device which was triggered by an animal. Quoting an official from the command, "There's nothing to indicate this is a new bomb or that certain parties were near the area before or after the explosion. No injuries were reported in the incident." The United Jewish Communities Organization, which represents Jewish community federations from the United States, has pledged $2.5 million to help rehabilitate the Jews evicted from Gaza in 2005. The pledge came after the UJC was pressured by constituents to aid the displaced Gazans. Originally, they had been told by the Israeli government that there was no need to raise funds for them because adequate solutions had already been provided. The UJC raised $350 million in the wake of last summer's war in Lebanon, during which people were displaced from their homes for over a month. Jewish agency head Zev Bilsky noted that the hardship and trauma suffered by the Gaza evacuees is incomparably greater than that suffered by residents of the north. Prime Minister Olmert says it's not too late to stop Iran's nuclear development efforts and the threat they pose to Israel. The Prime Minister's comments follow a report by the European Union that says that it is too late. What does the EU plan to do about it? For a look at this question, listen to Yishai Fleischer and friends on demand on the Internet at IsraelNationalRadio.com. Shabbat is Kaf Tetav, the 29th of Shvat on the Jewish calendar, and the weather forecast clear to partly cloudy on Friday, significantly warmer on Shabbat with variable cloudiness and light local rain over the coastal plain at night. A significant drop in temperature on Sunday with occasional rain over most of the country and light snow over Mount Hermon. Clear to partly cloudy on Monday with light local rain in the north during the morning. In Jerusalem Friday, 12 degrees centigrade, 54 Fahrenheit. Ernie Singer, Israel National Radio.
We want to wish our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land a very peaceful and restful Shabbat.
Now let's take a look at the Mazel Tov this week. We have a big Mazel Tov to Rabbi and Mrs. Mayer Shore on the birth of a baby boy. And we got a Shalom Zucker going on tonight. Rabbi and Mrs. Yisrael Rosenfeld, of course, with Mazel Tov and the birth of a grandson. Mazel Tov to all. And a big Mazel Tov for all the boys that have learned for 15 weeks at the Kollel Jewish Learning Center at 8 p.m. every Motzei Shabbos, after Shabbos is over, every Saturday night for 15 weeks. These boys came and they learned, and there'll be a special celebration for them February 17th, that's tomorrow night. There'll be a Malava Malka with good food, music, dancing, and singing, of course, and great prizes. For all those who attended three or more times, they're welcome to come. So hopefully you're part of that, and you'll be part of that, and a big Mazel Tov to all of them. From all of us here on the JE. Yeah, let's take a look at some events. Chabad of Pittsburgh continues a new series from the Jewish Learning Institute, The Kabbalah of Character, to provide you with a wealth of practical tools to gain insight and to chart your path to personal growth. Wednesdays through March 14th at two locations, 7:30 p.m. at the Yeshiva Girls School or 12:15 p.m. downtown at the Heinz 57 Center. The Meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous meets at Shari Torah every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. It is a recovery group very successful for people who cannot control their eating and or their weight. Many people in the Pittsburgh Jewish community are on the program and have done very, very well with it. If you want more information, call Ilana at 412-422-2224. If you'd like to have your Mazel Tovs on our program, you can do it. They're complimentary. Please call us at 412-979-5770, or you can email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week, no later than 5:38 p.m.
Shabbat shalom.
Time and Perspective is brought to you each week by Lens Landscaping at 412-372-5215. Lens specializes in shrub and tree care and provides free estimates. Lens says, I'll treat your land like it was my own. Call Lens at 412-372-5215. And now, here's Deborah DeLynn.
Do you ever get the feeling that you just can't stand a certain person? Thank God, each person is unique and special, and different. Differences are really the key factor that makes a person intolerant. You have one method of doing something, and here comes somebody else who does it completely the other way. Frustration, anger, jealousy, all the negative traits you were born with seem to spout out all at once, spurred by sheer difference. What would it take to simply think before letting your wrath loose? A couple of seconds to add a measure of peace to the world? It's worth it. This week's Parsha, Parshas Mishpatim, teaches us about civil laws, laws that are pretty much understandable. People have asked me before why the Torah even bothers to mention them. I mean, don't steal is pretty much normal. But you probably wouldn't think so if today's society was pro-stealing. This is the key to true appreciation of the Torah. Even though we think we understand these laws are a creation of divine intelligence. What we can understand is only appreciated through human intelligence, which is a pretty far cry from divine intelligence. One of the civil laws this portion deals with is the concept of the four guardians. When I was younger, I was privileged to learn Gemara with a teacher. We learned Perek HaMavkid, the portion in Tractate Bav Metzia that deals extensively with the four guardians. The situation is as follows. A man leaves something he owns under the watch of another person. The Torah tells us that there are four different kinds of watchmen he can get. A Shomer Chinam, a person who is unpaid to guard something. B. A Shomer Sachar, a person who is paid to guard something. C. A Shoyel, one who borrows something. And D. One who rents something. In each different category, the responsibilities and liabilities of each person differs according to their status. The Lubavitcher Rebbe compares these guardians to different drachim, or paths, that people take in their service to Hashem. The Shomer Chinam, the unpaid watchman, is the one who feels that he was only created to serve Hashem. His life and possessions are simply property that belongs to Hashem and have been placed under his watch. He doesn't feel that Hashem will compensate him for his efforts. A shoyel, the borrower, benefits from what he borrows while the owner doesn't get any physical advantage. This represents a person who does everything for his own pleasure and doesn't think he owes anything to anyone else, even though he might recognize the ultimate giver. The renter is very similar to the borrower in that he benefits from the object, but the owner also gets a cut. This is the person who utilizes life's pleasures for himself, but he also feels he must serve Hashem in return for these pleasures. The Shomer Sachar, the paid watchman, is like the unpaid one, in that he also recognizes the fulfillment of Hashem's will as the ultimate purpose in life. He just likes to take a small amount of things for self-interest, which he feels is his because of his service. Different people, different drachim. Truthfully, at some points in life, we're more like one watchman than the other. Is any one path wrong? No, they're just different ways people do things. Is there a better way to do them? Yes. Even if you're more inclined toward one over the other, you can change your nature to become a better person. We are the guardians of Hashem's holy Torah, the only ones who've stood the test of time to continue our duty. It'll only take a few more dedicated watchmen for Hashem to realize we've done our job. Have a good Shabbos.
Ancient cave of Bir Chevron, you'll see a man standing all alone. As the tears stream down his face, this is my hope, my request, where our forefathers rest. For our father Abraham,
Aneinu Bizkot Yitzchok and Yaakov I beg of you And in the schos of a heydik Emmanuel He pours out his soul To our Father in heaven
My dear Father
that was brand new with Yaakov Shweki and Tata. If you like what you hear or have any ideas for any future selections on an upcoming show, you can email me, Moshe Picar, at keyplayer@hotmail.com.
Rabbi Goldwasser's story segment is sponsored by Roladin, where you can get a complete Shabbat dinner for $36.99, which serves four with soup, fish, side orders, challah, and salad. Now accepting orders at 412-521-5555. 412-521-5555. And now, the Jewish Experience Master Storyteller, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
The Torah tells us in this week's Sedra that men of holiness shall you be. Neither shall you eat any meat that is torn to repha in the field. With these words, the Torah expresses in this week's Sedra one of the commands to abstain from non-kosher food, thereby introducing sanctity into our lives. The following story shows how it is possible for an individual to elevate himself by self-sanctification as to become physically sensitive to forbidden foods. Reb Shmuel Mankus was one of the most fascinating, lively, and profoundly humorous Hasidim of the Alter Rebbe. Hasidim often gathered for a farbrengen, an informal get-together, where the elder Hasidim would explain and discuss teachings and narratives they had heard from the Rebbe. A spirit of self-negation, of intense love for one's fellow, of complete brotherhood, was the hallmark of the farbrengen. Rav Shmuel Mankus invariably served as the attendant at these farbrengens, bringing out usually plain, simple food that accompanied the talking. It once happened that a pot of exceptionally good fare, roasted lung meats, was sent to the farbrengen by one of the local Hasidim. As usual, Reb Shmuel Mankus was put in charge of doing the honors. In great spirits, Reb Shmuel danced around with the pot, twirling it cleverly this way and that, but refraining from serving its contents. The Hasidim asked, pleaded, demanded, but to no avail. Reb Shmuel just danced and jumped around, but would not serve the roasted delicacies. Hours passed, and some of the young men decided to take the pot from Reb Shmuel by force. Realizing their intentions, Reb Shmuel jumped away and threw the whole pot into a tub of sewage. Everyone was aghast at his action. Some young men amongst the Hasidim who had wanted to taste the roasted lung meats were not happy about the exchange and were not thinking too kindly of Reb Shmuel. Their thoughts were interrupted, however, by the sudden arrival of the local butcher, who came running in with a distraught cry, "Brothers, don't eat those lungs. They're not kosher." It transpired that an unfortunate mistake had been made. A treif lung had been inadvertently confused for a kosher one. The elder Hasidim now demanded to know of Reb Shmuel how he was able to ascertain this. "I knew nothing," said Reb Shmuel. "After, however, I had my first private audience with the Rebbe, I made a firm resolution not to experience any strong desire for anything appealing and enticing in the material realm. When the roast meat was brought in, I realized that I desired it very much, and that everyone else desired it too. I therefore decided that it had to be something forbidden, because something permitted does not have such a power of attraction. As the Rebbe had taught, the power of desire and attraction of the animal spirit within us is stronger than the force of desire of our godly soul. So I threw the lung meat into the sewage." This is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser wishing you all a good Shabbos.
wrap up another special Shabbat Shekalim edition of the Jewish Experience. A couple of reminders, the Chabad of Pittsburgh, new series from the Jewish Learning Institute, the Kabbalah of Character, Wednesdays through March 14th, two locations at the Yeshiva Girls School or downtown the Heinz 57 Center. Call Rabbi Yisroel Altine for more information, 412-422-7300. Don't forget the meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous, still meeting, Shari Torah, very long, very successful program. Call Ilana for more information on that, 412-422-2224. And I want to thank you all for listening today, and be sure to thank our faithful and cutting-edge staff, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Asaph Eisen, MusicalMoist.com, Dr. Michael Schulman, Miss Devorah DeLynn, and, of course, our engineer, Jermala Bossenstein, for another outstanding show. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week is no later than 5:38 p.m. It's been a ton of fun, but I am done. Till next week, I'm Hirsch DeLynn. Have a wonderful and restful Shabbat.
Shalom, Malachi.